Continuing in the letter of Paul to the Colossians, and we turn this morning to hear God's word as he speaks through the apostle in chapter 4 of Colossians, and we read, pay attention specifically to the matter of prayer as he raises it in verses 2 through to 4. You would turn with me to hear God's word in Colossians chapter 2, chapter 4, at verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, pray also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Praying is a funny thing, a peculiar thing. A lot of people will tell you they do pray. You may tell me you pray, and I certainly hope that you do. But I think you've probably come across this often yourselves. People may speak of an occasional prayer. When we think of prayer, we should be asking questions. What kind of prayer is theirs? What kind of prayer is yours? What kind of prayer is mine? Is it a prayer like Nehemiah's, which arose to God at the slightest hint of need in every situation, even before a king who had his life in his hands? Nehemiah's prayers, who were raised up in answer to God's many kindnesses to him and the people. Is your prayer like Jesus' prayer, his praying which led to him rising early in the morning at times, praying through the night at times, praying with agony in the garden before his death, his entire person wrapped up in seeking from God and seeking God's will? Is your prayer like Daniel's prayer, which led to him being thrown to the lions? Precisely that. But also, as I mentioned earlier, prayer which brought an angel to him with God's message. We also live in a day, as I think most generations of men have done. We say that we are in a culture which is especially noted, where something seems to need to be done. What's the first thing? We work out a plan, we sort out, try and accomplish that task. Well, at least, except where mum can do it for us. Most societies are the same. Matter arises, what does man think first? What must I do? It's only when all else fails that he sometimes begins to look for outside help, and far less to look to God himself, the one true God, the one who is both willing and able to help. What is it about prayer? Well, let us hear, as Paul wrote specifically to the Colossians, let us hear what the Lord's own spokesman had to say. He will not have inadequate ideas such as these that I've mentioned about prayer. Let us hear what he has to say. And within what he is saying in these few verses, we must realize first of all the call to be praying. He lays out also the character of your praying. And he touches on the content of your praying. So with regard to praying, there is the call, the character, and the content. The call to pray, to be praying, first of all. I want to touch on his first word in verse 2, continue, deal with that more fully in a moment under the character. But it implies the presence of prayer. You can't continue in prayer unless you do pray. It's implied there that you must be praying. To pray is, first of all, primarily, it is to turn to God and to ask. That's the way that Jesus began as he spoke about prayer in, as we read it in Luke chapter 11. The first thing he said was, ask, and you will receive. Pray. Ask God. Turn to him and set your requests before him. I would not pretend to have done a detailed study of every passage in the Bible that where prayer appears, and I think it probably appears more often than just the word itself. But many of these passages have become familiar over the years, and there's one thing that strikes me as I do a survey of them, many, if not all of them. The Bible rarely tells us we should pray. It rarely gives us that simple instruction, pray. Sometimes there are occasional references, such as when Jesus said to his disciples, ask. It is, pray, and it will be given to you. But even that, it tends to fit in with what you can see in most places where prayer is referred to. When prayer is talked about in the Bible, by and large, it is assumed. Where you are God's people, in relationship to God, it is assumed that you will have prayer in your life. What the Bible then talks about is what that prayer is like and what it should be focused on and so on. It is qualified in other ways, but it is qualified because it is first assumed. It is expected. It is an expectation, if you are one of God's people, that you will have prayer in your life. The call to be praying is underneath what is Paul is saying here. It's emphasized by the instruction as to what good prayer, true prayer, is about. And prayer should be expected simply by virtue of men and women, children, coming into a relationship with God. What kind of relationship is it where there is no communication? It's one of the major breakdowns where there are troubles within marriages, where there are troubles within families, the difficulties of communication, maintaining a relationship by that. Some of you have, in your work, you've had to travel quite often. And perhaps you have found this when you've been away, when your children are quite young, perhaps even not so young. You've been away for maybe even just a week. When you get home, especially with the little ones, the little one may be almost scared of you. You're a stranger again, after even just the shortest of intervals. And it can be like that as for others in your relationship, in your family, in other connections that you have as well. The greater the gap of communication, the more you become a stranger. You haven't been talking or playing with your little one, and they become scared of you. There's a distance between you. We must not be strangers to God. We must be talking with him often. The other picture that comes to mind is when, in this particular case, Mum comes home and she says, when you tidied your room today, did you find a book or a CD or whatever it was? And you have to turn around and say, Mum, I didn't actually tidy my room yet. She's implied. She's saying, she's concerned about, did you find such and such? On the basis of you doing the work. But if you haven't done the work, you will not find. Paul is talking about how to pray on the basis of you being a praying person. But if you're not a praying person, what can you do with these things? Paul launches straight into the character of prayer. But we must remind ourselves, as we hear this, that it is emphasizing that we must have prayer in our lives. It's a wake-up call to say, be sure you are praying. And yes, I deliberately use it in that form. It's a verb. It's something you are involved in, not just a thing, prayer. But it is a thing that must be continued in, which we'll see in this character. You must be praying, constant in it, continuing. So there is first that reminder that we must be praying. A call to pray is implicit in what Paul has to say here. More straightforward, perhaps, is the character of your praying. That is what he's talking about here. What should your prayers be like? And not so much just yet about what should be in those prayers as to what their character is. What is the character of your prayers? What should the character of your prayers be? And I deal with this just with the four key words, simple words, that Paul has in verse 2. He has these words, continue. He has earnestly. He has been vigilant. And he has with thanksgiving. We can only just skim through these this morning. To continue, to be earnest, to be vigilant, and to give thanks. So first of all, the prayer that God seeks from us, and he does seek it, he does command us to pray, he does tell us to ask. Jesus, the Son of God, says, ask. It is God's command. Also his plea, his cry as a loving father to his people, come, speak with me. My ear is open to you. But that prayer that God seeks from us needs to be constant, continual. And that's not just regular. Regular means at intervals. Yes, regularly spaced intervals that you do it, as Daniel did, 3 times a day, every day. That is regular prayer. But I suspect Daniel was not just regular. I suspect there was a prayerful spirit in everything, every part of his life. Why did he go to his room with the window open to Jerusalem to pray? It's because he was in touch with God as he heard that decree from the king. Continue. Be in prayer. Don't let up. Of course, there are times in your life where you may not be able to put exact words to your prayers. There are other things that God calls you to be busy with. It is his call for your daily life. And that occupies that level of thought by which you may put words into your prayers. But there can still be that, needs to still be, that devotional character to all of your living, that spirit of prayer. I may have told you before of a story an old minister told of a man, an old man in the Scottish Highlands who was working in the front garden of his house out in the village, and a pastor, a minister, came by and asked him, this old man, old Christian, and he said, what does Paul mean when he says pray without ceasing, as he does in these words, but also in writing to the Thessalonians, he uses those exact words, pray without ceasing, without stopping. And the old man working in the garden, leaning on his shovel, he thought for a while and he says, well, it means I dig and I pray and I pray and I dig. But it's interwoven in every aspect of life, even to the most mundane, tidying your room, whatever it is, driving on the motorway. It is following on as part of this same message from Paul to the Colossian church, to the church of all the ages, where just a few verses before he said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is part of doing all in his name, and to his glory. I suggested earlier, put the pieces together. We find that prayer is something the Christian cannot do without. We cannot be walking with God if we are not praying with him. Isn't therefore continuing in prayer part of that vital keeping us faithful before God, with God? Everything tells us that if you don't have such prayer, continual prayer, it means that instead of walking with God, you're wandering away from him. Be in touch with him all the time. Be praying. Continue in prayer. Prayer to God must also be earnest. Earnest is not a word that we hear a great deal of these days, but it means it's not half-hearted. That you are in it. That you can even feel it physically, as Jesus did in the garden. It's not a formality. And it's not just touching on the first things that come to mind. It's not as an afterthought. You know, in many parts of the world, we have particular forms in England. We have different forms in other parts of the world where you meet someone and there's a greeting. It's a common form of words. And you'll find a look of surprise on the other person if you actually answer their question of greeting. How are you? You stop and give an answer to that, and people find you odd. It's a casual, it's a formal expression. It could mean so much, but that person isn't involved in it. They're not earnest about it. It's what you do. We've developed those expressions just to help us keep moving on in life. Now, if there's anything that you recognize in your prayers that's anything like that, it's a serious concern. It should be. It lacks earnestness. It's going through the form. It's not really applying mind and heart and spirit, your whole body, soul and mind and strength. They must all be applied, earnest in prayer, continually earnest in prayer. Also to be vigilant in it. Perhaps this brings in that it's what goes along with prayer in your life and your thinking. It's that you are careful and alert in all that you do. Not just aware of what the things that are going on, but being vigilant is about being active in response to that, taking the necessary action in relation to it. If we are to be vigilant, it is to be vigilant as to what's coming in, as it were, from the outside, those temptations, for example, that you are faced with. But being vigilant in prayer is also as much about what is within, the things that your own heart will stir up. When it's related directly to prayer, as here, it should alert you to consider what are the desires of your heart. Are they those things that will be brought in prayer to the Lord? The things in your heart, they are the things that will be found in your prayers. Either that or you exclude them altogether because you know they're not suitable. What are those things in your prayers? Do they please God? Are they advancing the fulfilling of His will? Ask and you will receive. But can you ask if you're asking just for your own pleasure? Can you really ask God for those things? Ask and you will receive. You will receive what is good. What if you ask something just for your own self? I encourage you to read in James chapter 4, the first few verses there about that asking for your own sake. Will you receive? If you don't receive, then the whole spirit of the person stirs up in the wrong directions and trouble comes. Be vigilant. Be attentive to what is pleasing to God. And may those things be the content of your prayers. Remember that pattern for prayer which the Lord taught us and through his disciples. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is that your prayer? and the direction of all that you bring to God. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it, and finally, with thanksgiving. Have you heard that somewhere before? Well, if you've been listening to Paul, you would have heard it. You would remember hearing it many times. I mentioned, I quoted a verse a little while before in chapter 3, verse 17. Do everything giving thanks to God, the Father, through the Lord Jesus. This is such a characteristic of all that Paul does. He has problems with most of the churches that he's writing to. But what does he say? As he tells them, first of all, what he's been praying for them. He says, I've been giving thanks for you. Giving thanks in all things, even in problem situations. Continue earnest, vigilantly, and also thankfully, with thanksgiving. Continue with thanksgiving. Not a thing should drop by without giving thanks to God. That's a challenge. That's a difficult one. But that's the way it must be. That's what we must be seeking. That our lives will be shaped in such a way that that is what we do. Now, as I say, if you've been listening to Paul, you will have heard this a number of times before. Have you ever wondered why he keeps saying it? It's an easy answer. Perhaps children sometimes wonder why the teacher keeps going over old ground, other things, things that you've learned. You need to keep reviewing. You revise before an exam. Why? Because you forget it. It's just a few weeks ago that we looked at that particular verse in chapter 3:17. Have you remembered it every day since? To give thanks in all things? Maybe you remember it in your head. The Bible, when it talks about remembering, God is the standard. When God remembers, it is not that he has ever forgotten the words or the promise or anything like that. It's that he is putting it into practice. We must be more God-like in remembering the things that God teaches us, making application of them, giving thanks in all things. And then, too, if we're recognizing that prayer in its simplest form is asking, that when we receive, as the children told us, we must give thanks when we receive. But doesn't that raise the question, what are you asking for? If you don't give thanks so often, is it because you feel that you have not received what you wanted? But then look at it the other way. Think about your request. Would you give it if you were God, the God of the Bible, not the God of just an imagination? But if you are this true God, take chapter 11 of Luke's Gospel there. How would you answer your request? Will you give thanks when the Lord stops you, warns you, when you're about to walk off the cliff edge? Will you give thanks when someone says, watch it, that grill is hot, don't burn yourself? Will you give thanks when you walk into a terrible work environment, when you thought you needed that job so much? And God gives it to you. Will you give thanks when he does not give you a snake to eat when you need a fish? Will you give thanks when he does not give you a stone when you need bread? Give thanks in all things, including when he says no. These are the four key characteristics we must find in our prayers. Will God find them as we come to him in prayer? And also to look at the content of your praying. In this particular place, Paul does not attempt to cover everything that can or should be prayed about. Some of these things are dealt with in other places. Here, Paul only asks for one specific thing. And I think that is telling us that he raises this as a key addition to what he expects you to be praying already. He raises this because it is something that does need to be taught and learnt. In a sense, it is a very personal request for that situation, and we might not see a necessary direct parallel in our situations. But yet, there are still important lessons we must learn. As we read this, we should be drawing together the related points that the Bible does give us. What is this situation? Well, we read there that Paul is in chains. It means he's in prison as he writes this letter. And that is opened up a little further later on as well. Why is Paul in prison? There is only ever one answer to that as far as Paul is concerned. It is because he stood firm on the gospel.